So I'm 5,000 feet above Albany on just a perfect day, beautiful blue sky, not a cloud in the sky. I can see the horizon in every direction. When the girl that just pushed me out of the airplane screams, "Wait, wait, your chute." It's... and she's gone with the plane. I don't think the sentence ends, you know, functioning properly, have a great jump. I think it ends worse. I don't know a lot about skydiving, but I would think that, you know, a working chute lends to a better jump, especially towards the end. What happened was I was in my 40s, suddenly, surprisingly, and I didn't want to be one of those kind of midlife crisis guys who runs out and gets a convertible. Besides, who needs two convertibles? And I, you know, I had already gotten divorced, so that was already checked off. But I needed to do something, so I went to, like, cliche number three, and I drive upstate to this skydiving academy near Albany for my meeting with Annette, the school's bare-bellied, khaki-shorted, you know, tan-shouldered senior instructor. She was 19 years old. She was like, petite, and I could have folded her up and put her in my pocket. She looked like a lowercase I with a smiley face dot for a head, which made me feel like a capital O standing next to her. But she was a professional, so the first thing she did was shake my hand. But then she put her arm through mine and squeezed it a little bit and said, "This is going to be awesome." And then she led me into the office, which looked like I had been kind of delivered on the back of a flatbed truck. And like they dropped it on its corner when they unloaded it. I go inside the office, and the first thing she says is that I have pretty eyes. And then she hands me the liability waiver. It was an extremely Darwinian moment for me, because what I should have done was, you know, drive away and do something else more well adapted to doing, like, you know, driving. But I signed it because she told me I had pretty eyes. But I wanted her to know that I was more than just a pair of pretty eyes, that I, you know, had the right stuff. So I sign it, and then she takes me back outside, and while the pilot and, I don't know, his homeroom teacher are playing hacky sack out on the runway, she says we're going to start with the landing because that's the important part. And then she pokes me in the ribs, and she says, you know, it's not the fall that gets you, it's a sudden stop. And she giggles because it's a joke. Not the funniest joke I've ever heard. She kicks over a blue plastic milk crate about a foot tall, and she tells me to hop up, and she tells me to jump off of it, and I jump off of it, and my feet raise these two little kind of dust clouds like Neil Armstrong, and she gives me the thumbs up like I've got the right stuff. And then she says, "We're going to do it. I'm going to teach you how to do a drop and roll, which is this maneuver you do when you land. It's where you basically is what it sounds like. You drop and you roll. Same thing you would do if you're on fire." And she demonstrates it for me like a, you know, Romanian gymnast. And she says, "You know, okay, you try it now." And she helps me back up into the box. She says, "Just hop on the bus, Gus." And I think, nice. We have something in common, you know. Her parents or her grandparents were fans of Paul Simon. So I get up on the box, hold onto her shoulder to steady myself, and because I just wanted to hold onto her shoulder, and I say, "I am a rock," and I drop like a stone.